This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Welcome back. Joining us now on the Saitama Hotline, he's halfway through his second year as commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference, and many people are saying that conference is the biggest winner in the last couple of rounds of league realignment. They're adding teams like Marshall, Southern Miss, Old Dominion, and they're not losing any. They're reinforcing their ranks, getting bigger, faster, stronger, better. Let's see how they've done it. Heath Gill, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Oh, thanks, Scott. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you coming on, sir. And I've got to ask you, Keith, I mean, what you guys have pulled off over the last few weeks has been pretty darn impressive. We've seen some conferences, and again, we're not belittling any of your peers, but we've seen some conferences scramble, do everything they can just to keep the lights on. But you guys have sat back and you've picked and you've chosen, and looks to me like you've judiciously picked a perfect group of schools to join your conference. How have you done it?
Yeah, you know, we feel really good about the schools, obviously, that we have, which is important to the earlier point you made about not losing anyone. And then certainly the schools that we added, they bring a lot of a regional, a good, nice regional footprint. We're going to be able to build some regional rivalries, both in our East and our West. Good football and really good fan bases. You know, the fan base piece was a really important part of it. So, you know, our CEOs just and our ADs really kind of set the course, and certainly with their leadership and understanding of where we wanted to go, you know, and then it, yeah, and then they went out and, you know, we kind of went out and kind of executed the strategy. So, you know, we feel really good about it, excited about the future, and certainly think the Sun Belt is well positioned.
How did you manage to keep things calm? A lot of folks were just panicking when the news came out about Oklahoma and Texas, and they thought it would be a feeding frenzy, but you guys seem to keep it together pretty good. How did you do that?
You know what? I mean, like I would say, it's a testament to our certainly Sun Belt Conference leadership, ADs and CEOs. But one of the things is we talked a lot. So, you know, we had a lot of meetings, a lot of conversations, just allowed people to talk and get things out and talk about what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And I think that was really helpful because I think that brought us together in a good way. It also got us on the same plan in terms of kind of what we wanted to do, you know, whether we wanted to add no schools, two schools, four schools, where those schools should be, how they would impact us. You know, one of the things that, you know, people aren't talking about that much, but that was really important to our strategy was shifting Troy onto the western part. Like right now, the way we're configured, Troy's in the east. And so it doesn't allow us to really have a tight eastern footprint in that regard. So being able to do that, which is then why you got to add an imbalance in the east in terms of that number of schools, really allowed us to create a strong kind of regionally balanced east and a strong regionally balanced west. So really just, you know, being thoughtful, talking a lot, getting on the same page, and then kind of build some consensus around a plan that we were fortunately able to activate.
You know, Keith, y'all are geographically, you make sense. I mean, you're one of the few conferences that actually looks like it's within the same footprint. I mean, it's not as tight as it used to be decades ago when the ACC was really the ACC. It wasn't near the Ohio right. River and up in Boston College and all that. But you guys really have a nice geographic circle. How much of a factor has that been in not only luring in new members, but helping the ones you have stick around? Because I have to think financially it makes so much more sense.
Yeah, I think the regional rivalry piece is something that everyone kind of gravitated around. So whether that's current members or existing members, just in terms of, okay, you know, what should this look like? And so the regional piece was a really important piece. I also think the quality football piece was really important. You know, we wanted to add schools that help us from a football standpoint. The fan base piece was really important because we really want to create these fun rivalries so that, you know, we're filling our stadiums and fans can travel because they just got to jump in the car and go. That was another piece that was really important, and I think we accomplished that. And then the last piece is we got teams that are really good in a lot of different sports, you know. So if you look at men's soccer, you know, Marshall's defending national champions. We've got, you know, some really good men's soccer programs. got better in basketball. We've traditionally been a great baseball conference. We got better in baseball. Sun Belt had four teams in softball last year, and we're adding JMU, who was in the College World Series. So there was some comprehensive sport growth that we achieved by doing this as well. You know, certainly football was really our focus, trying to get better and build rivalries in that sport. But there were some other real positive benefits to the moves that we made.
We're joined by Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt. And Keith, work with me a minute if I screw up any numbers. But I'm going to ask you a few questions that might pertain to some numbers. First of all,
okay,
Sun Belt, 14 teams, correct?
So we've got 14, well,
14
so
schools,
teams,
schools.
We'll have 14
schools.
Football playing teams, mm-hmm. and then we'll have 16 all sports. So we've got two schools that don't play football,
okay.
UTA and Little Rock.
Okay, so did the Sun Belt ever seriously consider, though, going to a model that had 16 football playing schools?
You know, we never really did. You know, certainly some folks have suggested that to us, but that has not been anything that was really part of our consideration. You know, we really, you know, looked at staying at 10 football playing schools and then adding two or adding four. That's really kind of what we were really looking at. And we were strongly, you know, considering staying at 10, but then we thought there could be some opportunities to add some really good teams. And so that's when we're like, okay, let's think about expansion in a little bit of a different way.
And then James Madison, one of the schools that's going to be joining the Sun Belt, but it's going to have a 2-year transition to the FBS. How is that going to work when it comes to playing other member institutions? How will the schedules shift for the conference and for James Madison over the next couple of years?
Yeah, you know, so it'll be so, you know, the thought is that everyone would join by 23. And so, and that would be the fall of 23 will be James Madison's second year of transition. And so at that point, their games would count, and FCS, they're not eligible for things in FCS postseason and those kind of things, but their games would count. So we would incorporate them into a full league schedule at that time. And so we play a full league schedule, although they wouldn't be eligible for kind of some of the postseason benefits. And then in 24, we would play a full league schedule where everyone is eligible for kind of the postseason.
You know, I covered Appalachian State when they made the transition from the FCS to the FBS, and I felt terrible for the team guys. I mean, they were, you know, I mean, what do you play for? You don't have an opportunity to play for a championship. Each and every week is just that, a standalone game. What can you do from a conference level to help them go through that for those juniors and seniors who won't see the other side of the rainbow, who will never play FBS-level football, at least in the Sun Belt? What can the conference do to make it more worthwhile?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard one. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, certainly, you know, I don't know. I don't know that there's much we can do, to be honest with you. And it actually hurts me to say that because you never want anyone to feel like they had, you know, a lost year or a year that wasn't helpful. You know, I'd like to think of it in terms of, you know, everything we do is on the shoulders of those that came before us. And this is one of those kind of, you know, bricks in the chain of growth for JMU. So, because that first year, you're 100% right. This first 2 years are difficult, you know, in terms of what you don't have access to and kind of how you're playing. But it's, you know, going to lead to, you know, something greater on the other side. And you may not have the opportunity to participate, but certainly you would have provided that opportunity for others.
Just a couple more minutes with Keith Gill, Commissioner of the Sun Belt. And Keith, you're getting James Madison, and that's one of the primo programs, at least in football, at the FCS level. But what about Liberty? Did you guys have conversations with Liberty? Was Liberty ever considered, Liberty already a member of the FBS?
Yeah, we certainly evaluated a whole host of schools. I don't want to necessarily get into which ones we did, didn't, you know, specifically in that regard. But we evaluated, you know, probably 12 schools in terms of our process. And they were all great. They all had good qualities to contribute to the Sun Belt. So I just think it comes down to a tough decision. You know, at the end of the day, you only have so many spots. And in this business, unfortunately, you got to leave out some quality schools that can really bring some good things to your conference. So that's the hard part about it is, you know, there are probably, you know, some other schools that certainly could have contributed as well. But we really feel good that we got kind of the best four schools for us. And what they can kind of contribute, you know, to our to our conference and to our league.
And Keith, before we let you go, the biggest thing in college football, I think, or at least the engine that pulls the train, is television money. Can you kind of get us up to speed on what's going on with the Sun Belt's current television deal? And are there any other horizons you're looking at going forward? It seems to me there's a wide open space out there for people to claim in the world of streaming football games. Is that something the Sun Belt might want to take ownership of?
Yeah, you know, so we just signed, we just extended our partnership with ESPN. And so we just did that in July. So, and we're there, we're with them really for our digital rights, so our streaming, and then also our linear TV rights. So we feel great about being partners with ESPN. They're really a terrific partner. And, you know, so we'll continue to look for ways to kind of grow that partnership and make it better.
Yeah, I mean, looking at your footprint, it's, you know, people used to say, oh, you have to be in major media markets. You have to be in large television markets. You guys don't own those large television markets, but I think you can still succeed as a media product because, tell me if I'm wrong, it's all about getting people to consume something now, people to subscribe to something, to purchase a product. It's all about fan bases who are willing to put up a dollar to have something related to their team, and you've got those fan bases. It seems to me a perfect marriage.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. You know, we weren't really focused on TV markets. We were focused on winning traditions and great fan bases, you know, and I think the fan bases can really help us do two things. To your point, one, they can actually buy the content, so that's a great thing, but they can actually make the content better because they're going to show up to games, whether home or away, because we have these regional rivalries now. They can travel to the away games as well. So we really did go for passionate fan bases and quality football programs that certainly have had a tradition of success. And we really think that that has been a model that has served us well and certainly is one of the drivers of our kind of expansion efforts, and we think it'll serve us in the future.
He's been a busy guy over the past few weeks. I got a feeling he's going to be a busy guy over the next few weeks. He's the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference. Keith Gill, appreciate you joining us today, bub.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, will we see you at the Myrtle Beach Bowl?
Yes, I am planning to be there. So I think it's December 20th. So I am hoping to get there, certainly.
All right, we'll catch up then, bud. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. It's Keith Gill, commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference.